This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steerin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By the Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to Sports Saturday on a soggy day across mid-Illinois. Of course, basically all the high school sporting events for today have been washed away. The Parkway Showcase down in St. Louis, that will go on because they've got AstroTurf down there. So Carlinville will be competing down there coming up at 4 o'clock against Fredericktown. But everything else locally has been canceled because it just will not stop raining. One of those springs, it just has been one of those times where it is not a good time to try to get in baseball, softball. We got track and field canceled today as well. The Greenville invite and the New Berlin invite have both been canceled. We got a good show lined up for you today. Coming up around 9:15, going to talk to Jason Burke. Their second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble will be coming up in May at the Hillsboro Country Club. So we'll talk to Jason about that. We'll have Bobby Allen joining us on Sports Saturday around 9:30 this morning here on FM 106 to talk about some Hillsboro Hilltopper baseball. We're going to start the program, though, talking Southwestern softball. Head coach Paig Mitchell joins us on the phone right now. And good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time. And you were supposed to have a nice doubleheader today, but Mother Nature said, I don't think so.
Yeah, we all like to think we can control things, but Mother Nature definitely sets the tone for us.
And from your perspective, there has not been a lot of outdoor practice time available to your squad at this point of the year.
No, it's kind of funny because the other night when I was working the field before our last chance at that last game, I realized we still have not actually had practice on our field. Mm. We have played games on our field, but we have yet to set foot on our field to practice.
That is amazing, which makes the start you guys are off to even more remarkable. And just how challenging is it to get the necessary work done when you're inside? You can do some things, but not everything you need to do.
Well, that's a definite. I mean, obviously, you can spend some time on hitting. You know, we have the ability, you know, we got the cage in the gym, which makes things nice. We do a lot of work on individual skills. So in one aspect, it works out because softball, if you think about it, is really an individual sport with team concepts. Because when the ball gets hit to you, you have to perform as an individual. So we work on those individual skills, and then we try to put it all together as a team. But it definitely makes it a challenge.
And your guys' offense this year is potent. And, Coach, you guys beat Edwardsville earlier in the year, and Lori Blade, she had some glowing comments about your offensive production. And when a coach like Lori Blade is raving about your offense, that really has to make you as a program feel very, very good.
Well, it's definitely high compliments whenever, you know, you get comments from a Hall of Fame coach. So, you know, Lori and I have been friends for quite a few years, and we've seen a lot of players, be it basketball or softball, come and go. So anytime, you know, we can speak accolades of each other, that's always a positive.
And talk a little bit about this offense, because it is a deep lineup with Pop in the middle.
I'm very fortunate this year. I mean, we have a great team that can hit the ball right now. I hope we stay this hot through May, but, you know, it's definitely going to be a long streak if we do. And like you said, from top to bottom, I have players that can hit the ball. So on any given night, I have somebody that can go 4 for 4. That's a nice problem to have.
That's a very good problem to have. It can make maybe your job a little more challenging trying to figure out the best way to set that batting order, but it's always good to have options. But as you go game to game, do you kind of have your order consistently set, or is that something you kind of flip around and fluctuate depending on the opponent?
Well, you kind of hit on a couple different things that I work with and deal with. Is that right now I have 10 players that are hitting the ball and doing good things. Unfortunately, that lineup is 9. So that means I have to have a conversation with one player almost every game about who is or who isn't batting. And that's tough when you're young because everybody wants to be a part of that team and everybody wants to contribute. So, I mean, that right now is one of my biggest challenges, is trying to get the 9 in the lineup that I feel that's going to do the best thing. As far as the order, I mean, you know, I've got Bree Roloff right now who's on pace to destroy the home run record at Southwestern, and she's in the 2 spot, and people wonder why in the world. Well, she's on pace to break the home run record, and I'm a little superstitious. I'm not going to move her.
So, you don't want to overthink it.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, we move things and we adjust some things. You know, Molly Novak has had a little bit, her shoulder's been tweaked here the last week or so she has been out of the lineup a little bit. You know, it just kind of depends upon how things go. And I had another player that was sick one day. Ashton Watts wasn't feeling well, so she came out of the lineup. It just varies.
And Molly is one of your 2 seniors, but, man, that kid is a gamer. No matter what sport she's playing, she gets after it.
She does. No one ever questions Molly's work ethic on the field or on the court. When you watch her play, you know her heart is in it.
And we talked about the offense, but you know how it goes, Peg. You still got to have the pitching. And as you look at your pitching here, maybe moving forward, what do you see? Where maybe do you want to see improvements from that aspect?
Well, you know, we have Bailey Nixon and Sydney Baumgartner both returning from last year. One's a junior, one's a sophomore. And they're similar yet different, which is nice so that you can put some, you know, whoever you put on the mound, you get a little bit of difference that you get to see in the pitches that are their strengths. The things that I've talked to them a lot about is that they've got to be able to throw some speeds of some pitches of some varying speeds. So right now one of our focuses is what's the difference between our fastball versus our screwball versus our curveball, you know, and then throw that change up in there as well. Because we can hit spots, we can do things along those lines, but we got to keep the batter's timing out of focus.
How much has, a number of years ago, the pitching rubber got moved back, and the offense has definitely seen an uptick since then. And for someone who's been around the game as long as you have, has that been a noticeable difference from the coaching perspective with that mound a few feet further back?
It's one of those things, that, kind of like you said, it's been long enough now that I don't even really think about it. I would say at the time, it was as much of a mental change as it was physical. I think there's a lot of people will tell you that athletes are affected more by things mentally than they are physically. So when they think it makes a difference, it does make a difference. So at this point, I don't think anyone compares the situations. But that first year or two, everyone talked about how it made the offense more potent.
And this is your 9th year, so you're now working with your 3rd set of freshmen that you will have all the way through. And that makes such a big difference because now kids coming in, they know what is expected. They know what needs to be done to play varsity softball for the Piasaw Birds.
You know, it's great whenever we have a team culture and the players believe in that culture. That's a tremendous aspect. And right now, from freshmen through seniors, I have a tremendous group of young ladies and parents that support the program and do the things we need to do to be successful, and right now it shows.
You know, you guys have one of the best high school websites, PiasawBirds.com, that I encounter. And I assume the score is right because Brian Hansel usually stays on top of it. 32-0, is that the right score against Brussels?
That is correct. We played a 4-inning game. With the new rule this year, it's 15-4. 2 innings I had my varsity players in, and 2 innings I had my JV players in. So Brussels, you know, they're a small school. We went and we played them. And kudos to them. They played hard. They can hit the ball. They can do some things. My kids made some nice plays and did some good stuff. And my JV kids, to their credit, hit the ball and did things well too.
And from your perspective, that's all you can do. You can't tell your JV kids not to swing the bat.
And that's what I said to my assistant coach as well. As I said, you know, I said, I'm not going to teach my kids to strike out on purpose. I'm not going to do things along those lines. And I said, I'm going to give those JV players the opportunity for at-bats because that means just as much to them as it does a varsity player.
No doubt. And you guys haven't won a sectional since 2013, and I know it's got to be one game at a time, even one inning at a time when you're talking about softball, but that has to be a goal. You want to win the conference, of course, but, boy, to win a regional this year with this type of team, that would be fantastic.
As you said, let's win one inning at a time, one game at a time. I always tell the players, if you do things well and you do things correctly, the W's take care of themselves.
Pig Mitchell, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and hopefully the weather will cooperate a little bit more in April for you.
That would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
It would be.
I hope that does work out.
All right, Pig Mitchell, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, a potent offensive club this year. They've only lost one game. That was the second game of a doubleheader to Columbia to start the year, but they put up 12 runs in a win over Edwardsville, put up 15 runs in a win over CM, 14 runs in a win over Jersey, and then that 32-run outburst against Brussels. And, David, I never, you know, in football and basketball, you see people maybe sometimes get bent out of shape about super lopsided scores. Softball and baseball is different in that regard. Because, as Peg said, you can't teach your kids or tell your kids you got to go strike out on purpose.
Right. Yeah, there's really not much you can do. And like she said, the varsity kids played like two innings, and then the JV kids came in. You're certainly not going to tell your JV kids, who you're still developing,
right,
to come in and tank the rest of the game.
But that's a big number.
That is a big number. It's a long game, too.
That's a lot of runs.
Because that's the thing where you know the mercy rule is going to be in effect, but you still got to wait for everything to play out.
Yeah, I figured that was the right score, but I thought, man, that just looks weird. You just don't see that number in this game very often. Yeah.
Yeah.
Common there, but softball, not so much.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with our buddy Jason Burke. They have their second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble coming up in May. We will talk with Jason Burke when Sports Saturday continues following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. A rainy end to the month of March. Nothing happening on the high school sports scene locally. Should have been a big day. There were several different mini baseball and softball tournaments scheduled. Some nice track invitationals. All wiped out because of the rain. So hopefully once the calendar switches over to April, we can have a little bit better weather. And you know how March goes around mid-Illinois. You never know what you're going to get. And sometimes this is exactly what happens, just rain after rain after rain, and it has not been a pretty season thus far for baseball and softball. We're going to talk to Bobby Allen coming up around 9:30 this morning as the Hilltoppers. They have a nice solid baseball squad this year, so we'll catch up with Bob Allen around 9:30 this morning here on FM 106. We're making contact right now with Jason Burke. As coming up on May 11th, that is a Saturday, it'll be at the Hillsborough Country Club, the second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble. And we're happy to have Jason Burke on the phone with us right now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're just trying to stay dry here. Thankfully, our roof's not leaking.
Yeah, no kidding. I wish Mother Nature make up her mind.
Yeah, she can be fickle at times if she's not in a good mood right now, but
hopefully
a little more than a month from now, by the time we get to the middle part of May, we'll have a gorgeous day on May the 11th. And Jason, I know this will be a very special day for you and your family.
Yeah, we're going to have Camden's second annual Crush for Camden's Crew golf tournament. You said it best. We cashed our good luck weather last year. It was perfect last year, so we're really hoping for an even better day next month, for sure.
And maybe for people who aren't aware of Camden's condition, just talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Camden has a condition called Creedy Shaw, or 5P minor. He has a small deletion on his fifth chromosome, which will limit him both physically and mentally for his entire life. It's not fatal or anything like that, which we're so thankful for. But it'll definitely be something that we'll be with him, you know, for the long haul. So we found out whenever he was 10 months old, and after that we researched different ways to improve his quality of life and his outlook. And we've been fortunate that he is on the more mild end of it, because some of these little guys They don't ever walk or talk, and he's already doing both, so we're really fortunate for that. But so it's called Kridu Shaw, and that's characterized by a small cry whenever they're born, and like I said, slower development as they get older and older. But he's doing great right now, and we're hoping to continue that. So.
Jason, there was a really neat moment at halftime in one of the Topper basketball games this year when you guys were announcing some of the fundraising that you had done, but Camden was there, and he got a standing ovation from a sellout Hillsborough crowd. I know you made the comment that it was always a dream of yours to have your son get a standing ovation in front of the Topper faithful. Just talk about that night and just what that meant.
Oh, that was incredible. It's like I said that night, Tim, you know, whenever you're a dad, you automatically think your son is going to be interested in sports, and, you know, because typically you are too. And whenever he was diagnosed, that was one of the first things, kind of selfishly, that I'm like, oh gosh, you just don't know, you know, and it's not what you should think about, but as a dad you do sometimes.
Sure.
And whenever we had the Camden night at the game, he got to walk out, and it was just unbelievable, the support that he gets and he's always gotten from the area. And it was great that Bill Comas was there too, because Bill Comas, they have such great fans and they travel so well. So you said it was a sellout crowd, and it was just awesome. It was something that Earlene Robinson and the Hillsborough Sports Boosters had put together almost 6 months in the making, and they took a page out of Kyle and Mary's book with the Grace plates, and they did some Camden plates, and that was just a culmination of all that. So it was really a cool moment.
And
so much fun.
Absolutely. And the golf tournament comes up on May the 11th, and this will be that day, the final day of worldwide Kridu Shaw of the Awareness Week. So that's pretty neat and special that the tournament will fall on that day.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Last year it actually fell on Kridu Shaw Day, May the 5th. It's characterized by the fifth month and the fifth day, so the fifth chromosome. And Marvin Traylor at Hillsborough Country Club was gracious enough to give us that day and then give us this day this year. And it's going to be a great event. We're hoping to change somebody's life, because we're laughing about this. We actually are going to have 2 zero-turn mowers up for a chance. So Jen and Matt Weiss are our title sponsors again with Weiss Power Sports, or Power Equipment, and we are going to raffle off a zero-turn mower. And also, we're going to have a zero-turn mower that you could win with a hole-in-one. So if you're lucky enough and you're a good enough golfer, you might just be able to retire that day and make your own lawn business.
Yeah, those things are nice.
We're hoping to fill somebody's life one mower at a time.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, you know. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You can have a fleet of Toro zero-turns with one draw and one nice shot.
So. That is beautiful. And the deadline, it looks like, is April the 27th, and $240 for the team. It's a four-person scramble. Just give us a few more details about the event coming up on May the 11th.
Yeah, so we're going to have two shifts. We'll have an 8 o'clock shift and then a 1 o'clock shift. Really excited about it. We've got some really cool giveaways that we're working on. We've got some passes from area golf courses for things like longest drive, longest putt, closest to the pin, stuff like that. As I said, we have put up the mowers, and also we have some cool giveaways for the golfers who sign up. We're going to give them a shoe bag with our logo and with Matt and Jim's logo, and then the other logos of the sponsors. You're going to get a koozie, and you're also going to get a poker chip ball marker. The ball markers are really, really cool. We're excited about those. They've shown pretty popular among golfers, so we're going to get a poker chip and give those to the golfers as well. So you get 3 cool items, you get some chances for some great prizes, and we're going to do 2 shifts, and we're looking forward to it.
Okay, and the deadline will be April 27th, and they can just email you or contact you. What's the best way to get in this?
Oh, you can email me. You can hit me up on Facebook. We're going to have an ad in the paper also at the Journal News coming up. And also, we have some sign-up sheets at Hillsborough Country Club up on the board, and then also at White & Associates, Dina's office there on Vandalia Road, right across from the Chinese restaurant. So.
And, you know, $240, that's a fantastic price, because golf, it costs you a pretty penny to just go play a regular round. So when you can break that down, you know, that's the total cost for four people. You're getting all the different prizes. You're getting the meal. But most importantly, it's for a great cause. So, I mean, for people out there who enjoy to play golf, this will be just a wonderful way to go and spend your Saturday. And, Jason, I know, you know, when things like this happen to a family, initially, we've talked before, you know, the shock of, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this has happened to us. But you have found other families. I know up in the Chicagoland area, you're going up there for some appointments and whatnot. But talk about the community of families that are dealing with the same thing you and your wife are dealing with, and how that just kind of helps you guys.
Yeah, it's amazing, because you don't really think you're ever going to be in a group like this, you know, through your own choice, you know, with anybody who has, you know, a child with special needs, or anybody who, you know, gets sick or anything like that. But like you said, the true community comes out in folks who are going through the exact same thing. And I speak for everybody who's ever gone through anything, that it's nice to know that you're not by yourself. That's the best part. And, you know, in a bleak situation, knowing that you're not by yourself is wonderful. And we got together with two families just last month and just sat down, and it's just nice to see that the world still turns and everybody's concerns are exactly the same. So that's really, you know, really reassuring. And then to live where we live, I put a thing in the paper last month, just, if we lived anywhere else, Camden would not be doing as nearly as well as he is, simply because of the support of the community and you know, just the love for him. So just to know that you're not by yourself and you're not fighting the fight by yourself is so important. And it's just been amazing to Gina and I, you know, the outpouring of support for Camden, and you know, anybody who ever goes through anything around this area, they will say the same thing. This area just rallies for you, and it's wonderful.
And on a lighter night, it's a beautiful day for soccer, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah! I got out this morning. I'm like, man, I feel bad for Dave Batts and the Hillsborough High School girls team, because they got to get up and do something at 45 degrees on a rainy Sunday or Saturday, and I just get to sit and watch Elmo with my kids and talk on the phone with you guys.
Hey, I just want to mention, too, of course, the basketball team just went to state. The last time they were there, you were on the staff. So watching from afar this time, that had to be quite enjoyable for you.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, yeah. Teague and those guys, just Teague never ceases to amaze me. He pulls stuff out, and I feel like he's forgotten more basketball than most people will ever know.
Right.
So that was really cool to see. So, yeah.
Jason Burke, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Saturday, May the 11th, the second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble. It'll be held at Hillsborough Country Club. And again, for people that want to help with the event in any way or get their golfers in, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, so you can email me, you can call me, you can check it out on Facebook. Like I said, we mailed out a handful of sponsorship opportunities. And also, we'll have the sheet printable in the newspaper, all that kind of stuff. You know, we'd love to have you. It's not a tournament for people who are bad or good or anything like that at golf. It's just to come out and have fun. And it's a great excuse, like you said. It's always easier to talk my wife into letting me go golfing if it's for a good cause.
Right.
So, you know, you can use that as a card in your back pocket, too. So.
Sounds good. Jason Burke, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
All right, Jason Burke talking about his son Camden and the second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble. It'll be Saturday, May the 11th at the Hillsborough Country Club. Again, $240. That's for a four-man team. The deadline is April the 20th. 7th. That is Saturday, April the 27th. If you make your reservation after that, it'll cost you $40 more, per team at 280, but you make those checks payable to Camden's crew. And again, as Jason said, you can just hit him up on Facebook if you would like to be a part of that great event coming up on Saturday, May the 11th. And, you know, Jason's a Hillsboro guy through and through, soccer guy. We talked about he was on Brett Tekin's staff back when they won state in 2006. And we're getting ready to talk with Bobby Allen, of course, who is Teek's varsity assistant now. He's also the head baseball coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And they were supposed to play some baseball games today. That is not going to happen. But do we have him on the phone? All right, Bobby, good morning, sir.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
Hey, we're doing all right here. And as a baseball coach, these last couple of weeks, not ideal.
No, not at all. We're 3-1 against high school teams this year and 0-7 against Mother Nature. So
undefeated.
She's really doing a number.
And I guess, you know, this can work one of two ways. One, your pitching's not getting burnt out early, but if all these games wind up being made up on the back end, that could be problematic.
We do our best to try to make up stuff throughout the year, but if it starts getting into conference season, and we could have a lot of trouble trying to make up games on the back end, that's for sure.
Talk a little bit about your team overall. I know you got quite a lot of talent there.
Well, we have all our pitching back from last year, which is nice. About 99%, the only person we lost was Alex Schreiber, and he only started one game last year. He's mostly a reliever. But replacing Alex Schreiber and Christian Hernandez and Dalton Demme's hitting is going to be a different story. And hopefully, as we go through the year, we find some guys to step into those roles. But pitching-wise, we're very solid, and that's going to keep us in a lot of games.
And I know I've heard you and Teek talk about it. You know, he's a softball coach, he's a baseball guy. There's just a different feel and vibe for the spring sports than there is during that basketball season.
Just a little bit. Teek will tell you he's a little more laid back in softball and stuff like that. But, I mean, everything's so day-to-day in spring sports because of the weather that you just have to have a different vibe. It's sometimes not as intense as it could be.
Now, I noticed you didn't say that you're more laid back in baseball, Bobby. Are you more laid back?
Not really. You know me. I am who I am, so that's not going to change much.
That's what makes you who you are, though, Bobby. And that's why you're so popular with your players, no matter what sport you're coaching, because you're real. There's nothing fake about the way that you approach your job of coaching. And you've been around long enough to know that if you're not who you are, the kids aren't going to buy into what you're trying to do.
No, exactly. I mean, I am who I am. I don't change much. I've been coaching for 27 years now, and one of my main goals in life as coaching is I want, I would love our team to be great at the end of the season. I would love everything to get better. I would love to be nothing more than a state champion. But what I love more is if I can make an impact in a kid's life, or if that child is a better person at the end of the season than he was at the beginning of the season, then I feel like I'm doing my job, to the best of my ability.
And you just had a birthday, right?
Huh?
You just had a birthday, right?
Yeah, I just turned 53 yesterday, and then my son turns 13 today, so I got a house full of 13-year-old boys running around right now.
Oh, good luck for that. Too bad it's raining.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, Bobby, to that point, I saw that Sammy Matouche had wished you a happy birthday, and she talked on Twitter about how much you had meant to her. And I know from when you're dealing with kids and you're coaching, there's really nothing I would imagine that makes you feel better than one of the kids that you have coached has those types of words for you.
Well, that group, especially that group of seniors, I mean, they entered my life right after my daughter passed, and so I'm so super close to them. So to hear words like that from them, especially, just, I mean, my heart melts. And I got one of those basically from all four of those girls yesterday, all five of those girls, and it's an amazing feeling. And anytime a kid that you coached, you know, 10, 12, 14 years ago still calls you coach instead of by your first name or Mr. Allen or whatever, it knows you made an impact.
And, yes, and that was such a fun ride this last year specifically for that basketball team. And then, you know, it's over and everybody has to move on to their other spring activities. But is it hard to kind of put that behind you and then get geared up for the start of another season?
Well, for me, no. I mean, I could see how it could be, but I didn't really have a chance to transition, and Teak will probably tell you the same thing. I mean, we came back, we had that reception on Sunday, and baseball and softball started Monday.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have a lot of time to think about it, and so you just rode right into that next season. But, I mean, because of what happened, I think about it every day. I mean, that's something that's going to be, you know, in my mind for a lifetime. That's a dream come true for me.
Yeah, it was an awesome weekend, no doubt. And as you said, nothing more would make you happy than to be able to do that on the baseball diamond and become state champions. Hard to do, obviously. And the South Central Conference this year, it seems to be a league that's going to get you prepared for a potential postseason run. A lot of good teams in the South Central this year.
Well, South Central baseball is almost as good as South Central girls basketball.
Yeah.
I tell you, there is a lot of good teams, a lot of great coaches. There's good pitching, there's good hitting. Of course, everybody's chasing Staunton. You're always chasing the team from the year before, and Staunton hardly lost a lot. And Kyle does such a great job over there. It's amazing to watch, but, you know, everybody's chasing them, but there's so many good teams. I was talking to Mike Militia when we played five innings before we got rained out the other day, and we were talking about how good the conference is, and there's just really not a weak team. There's not a team you look at and schedule, oh, hey, at least there's a win. It doesn't happen that way in our conference.
And then coming up on Saturday, April the 13th, hopefully the weather will allow it, but the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament, we're going to broadcast all the games on WQSMI AM and FM. And Bobby, when that tournament can happen, which seems to be about a 50-50 proposition if we're lucky, because it seems to rain more years than not, but that's always a fun day of ball.
Yeah, it's a great day of ball, and I like the fact that we're the hosts this year. I know it's tough for the radio because we have two fields.
Oh, we got two stations though, Bobby. We're okay.
Yeah, there you go. Great stuff. You know, and it allows us then to make the third place game also a 7-inning game. And, you know, our complex is a great place. And as long as the fields are in good shape and we get some good weather, I really love that tournament. It's been fun the 2 years that we've gotten it in that I've been coaching.
Bobby, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here this morning. I know you would have rather been playing a game than talking to us here at WSMI, but we're glad you joined us.
Well, thank you. I would have been on a bus right now anyway on the way to the game, so I still would have got to talk to you.
Excellent.
But, yeah, it would have been nice to play. We picked up St. Anthony and Charleston for this next week on some open dates to help make up for some of the rainouts. So, we'll see what happens. We've got some good baseball coming up.
Bob, this is when you're glad you're just the coach and not the AD, because being an AD in the spring, that can't be any fun.
Oh, no. I tell Joe every day, he goes, I don't know how he does his job. It's just got to be maddening trying to find umpires and doing cancellations and finding makeups. There is no way in heck I'd want to do his job right now.
Absolutely not. Bobby, thanks for a few minutes of your time, sir.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
Bob Allen, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, one of the greats, one of our favorites here at the radio station, just a class act, does it the right way in it. And, David, you know, some coaches aren't in it for the right reasons. Bobby Allen is in it for the right reasons. He's all about the kids, the development of the kids, not just on the field, but you heard him allude to it, off the field. You know, if you can make the kids you coach better people, then you have done your job, regardless of what the win total is at the end of the year.
And it doesn't seem to matter what sport he's coaching either. He's just good.
Oh, yeah. He's just good. And his personality is just infectious. I mean, you know, when I started here, he was the varsity basketball coach at Litchfield. And just every time you talk to that guy, it's like, I'm ready to suit up and play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just one of those guys.
He's coached, I think he's coached tennis and golf, too, at different points.
Yeah, he's all about it.
Yeah.
And it was fun, you know, he was talking about he'll have memories for a lifetime with the basketball run to state. So will I. And I'm just going to remember that, you know, that Thursday inside Redbird Arena, the ability to hang out with the team, to hang out with Teak and Bobby and just, you know, just talk and kind of get – when you talk to a coach before a game, they're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
They're in game mode, you know, and they'll chat with you a little bit. They'll joke around with you maybe a little bit depending on the coach. But when you get them in that type of setting, in that type of environment where they're not in game mode, so, you know, you kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at how they interact with their team on a daily basis. It's really neat. You get a really good understanding for what makes these guys elite-level coaches when you get to see them in that type of setting.
Oh, absolutely. And he's good enough to be a varsity coach in basketball.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Terry's mentioned it so many times that he'll
they got two ones.
Yeah, they've got two, basically two head coaches on the squad, and he's good enough to be head coach anywhere else. So he's just behind someone who's really good at Hillsboro.
But see, that's one of the keys. And they had talented players. Don't get me wrong. You got to have the talent, no matter what sport you're coaching, no matter what level you're at. If you don't got talented players, you're not going anywhere. But when you got the talent, and then you got that type of coaching, that's when you can really go next level. And that's exactly what happened with the Hillsboro girls basketball team this year. Sammy Matouche still has one more high school type of basketball game to play. She will be involved in the River War. Comes up this afternoon at Slough High's Danis Field, Illinois versus Missouri. That game will tip at about 3:30. The toppers, Sammy Matouche and Greenville's Nancy Fritschke, will compete on the Illinois squad there. Congratulations to Sammy Matouche. She finished ninth in the Ms. Basketball voting. That is a phenomenal accomplishment to finish top 10 in the state for Ms. Basketball. Well
done.
Yeah,
absolutely. No changes from last year either on either side.
Not in the winners.
No.
But Sammy finished with 2,883 career points, finished ninth in the voting, and you heard David mention it, Bree Beal from Rock Island, three-time winner, joining some lady named Candace Parker.
Never heard of her.
Turned out to be decent,
who's
David. She was all right.
Who's that?
She was all right. And then on the boys' side, E.J. Liddell, of course, went back-to-back, not a surprise at all. And he did something that had never been done. He got more votes by himself than every other player total. Think about that, David.
I can see
the wheels turning up there.
Okay.
Yeah. So you take 2 through, I think, 38, add up their point total. All of them less than what E.J. Liddell
got. Nobody's ever had that before?
No.
Wow.
Not for the total of everybody. I mean,
that's surprising to me. Is that
runaway.
Okay. Because there's been a lot of talented guys come out. Maybe that's the case, is there have been so many talented players coming out of Illinois that there have been shares every year.
Yeah. And he wasn't a McDonald's All-American.
No, he's not.
Had to be close. I never saw like a list of like where the cutoff was.
There have been a few. I don't think Iowa DeSumo was either. Like, I think a few Illinois high school basketball players have gotten slighted from being.
Well, he wasn't on that level.
No, I know, but like I don't know that Jeremiah Tillman was either. Like,
well, he wasn't on that level.
Well, but I'm saying like there have been a lot of really good high school basketball players from Illinois that don't make it.
There have been. But EJ, you're exactly right. But to be the best player in this state for two straight years, and to not be, just proves and shows what an elite accomplishment that is to be a McDonald's All-American. And it's going to be fascinating to see how he transfers to Ohio State.
It will be
very interesting.
He's very fortunate he plays today. Now, that may sound like a stupid statement, but 10 years ago, he probably doesn't have much of a future in basketball because he's an undersized big. And because of the way the game has shifted and playing positionless basketball, essentially, he's got a future now.
You're right. And I will say this, though. He can handle and shoot. You know,
right.
Sometimes guys get kind of like people talk about Zion Williamson. They think he can't shoot. Like, all they can do is dunk. No, he just does dunking very well. But the dude can handle, he can pass, and he can shoot good enough.
Right, but like, I'm saying like 10 years ago, those guys weren't even like, yeah, they'd have decent and good college careers. Oh. They weren't even considered professionals.
No, I totally agree with you. Absolutely, 100%. He will benefit greatly from positionless basketball, but you just kind of like for him in his high school career, you get caught up, you see the monster blocks, you see the monster dunks, But he can handle and shoot too.
Oh yeah.
And that, you know, that's what took him to the next level and why he is the back-to-back Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois and why Belleville West won back-to-back championships. He was fun to watch. 500 blocks for his career.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Those are stupid numbers. Like video
stupid
game
numbers.
Numbers.
Belleville West.
Don't you know?
Pride of downstate Illinois.
That's right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank goodness the Cardinals opened up with a dome in Milwaukee. Would have been disastrous had they been in St. Louis for the first week of the season. And, David, when you open with a dome, it's just nice because you don't have to worry about the rainouts or the cold. And, you know, there was a lighter Major League schedule yesterday just because there's always that off day built in after the home openers. Just in case there's a rainout, they can get the home opener played the following day. But
except in California.
Don't have to worry about it yet. Doesn't rain there. But they were able to play last night, obviously, because no off day needed when you got the dome. And the Cardinals bounced back very nice after a tough opening day. But I'm just going to say this, David. Through two games, they have committed zero errors and zero outs on the bases.
I think you're implying something there.
I don't know. I'm just stating facts. I don't know.
Sounds like there's an underlying message you'd like to get across.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, they didn't commit any errors or running into the outs. Like, I don't know. I just happened to notice that. Like, you know, the first, just clean baseball.
Is this different from last year?
Slightly. A slight change.
What changed?
It was interesting hearing the players coming out of spring training talking about the work that was done in spring, how they felt prepared for the season, and just kind of the different vibe that Mike Schilt had. And you knew that when he was given a full off season and a full spring training to do the things that he wanted to do, and quite frankly, the things that needed to be done and weren't getting done over the last number of years. But you heard him talking about fundamental work and, more importantly, pitching fielding practice. Too many errors by the pitchers last year. They were doing drills focused on situational baseball, making sure outfielders are throwing to the proper base based on runners on and score of game. And, you know, a lot of errors last year. But they also had a lot of misplays that didn't show up as errors that gave away free bases. And over the course of a season, it just bogs you down. And with all the sloppiness we saw the last several seasons, they were still in playoff contention come the final couple weeks of the season. So you get those fundamentals shored up. You've got now your big bopper in Paul Goldschmidt, and it seems like the Cardinals are set up for a big-time year.
It does. And he turned the pitcher fielding practice into a competition this spring. So while you're getting your work in, you're also having fun but able to take it seriously. So I think that helped a little bit. It also helped them build a little bit of chemistry between the veterans and the young guys.
The team had gotten too clicky the last number of years. And I heard it was said, you know, when the things they worked on in spring training this year are things that will actually carry over into the season. If you remember under the previous guy, how in spring training...
No mention of his name.
No need to. they would just steal bases. Yeah. Come into spring training, they'd just be stealing bases all game, every game, just running wild. Then they get into the regular year, and they don't steal bases. So you just wasted spring training from that aspect, working and doing things that you're not going to do in the regular year. And all it did was just have them running until they got tagged out. And that, to me, was one of the most infuriating things about the Cardinals the last number of years, was just the erosion overall of the fundamentals, the base running.
Right.
You can't run in to outs. And I've already seen this year guys tagging up, little things.
Well,
little things. Jack Flaherty did it last night. Colton Wong did it the other day, where you're tagging up on fly balls that in years past they would have just been standing on the base they were at.
Well, you know what was amazing is the opening day game. And Goldschmidt is just a great base runner anyway. He might be one of the best base runners in baseball. He's not the quickest guy, but a phenomenal base runner. He had on Thursday a ball where he was almost to third base on a fly ball. Had to go back and tag up and then got to third base anyway.
Right.
I mean, that's impressive.
That's winning baseball.
Yes, it is.
That is understanding situations and understanding that there's a bag to be had here, and I'm going to go get it. And then he made a great defensive play last night, turning a double play. And that was the other thing we talked about, the pitchers and the errors. They had more errors by their first baseman last year than anybody in all of baseball. This guy is a gold glove first baseman, and he was the seventh opening day first baseman in the 8 years since Albert left. And Albert was Albert. He's an all-timer. Goldschmidt is not that. I'm not saying that. I'm just making the point that when you kind of look at all the intangible things that Albert brought to the team, Goldschmidt brings those similar types of intangibles. Hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
Great instincts on the bases. And defense is not an intangible, but he is a high-level defender. And you don't, you know, sometimes you don't think of first base as a premier defensive necessity until you see what's happened the last couple of years. And it's just when the first baseman can't catch the ball, it's a problem.
Yeah. It kind of equates with the Cardinals' success, though, doesn't it? I mean, in the 90s, before McGuire got there, did they have a consistent starting first baseman every year? And McGuire got there midway through 97.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was.
Greg Jeffries was
Greg
there for
Jeffries
a while.
Greg Jeffries was there for a little bit. John Mabry was playing first base a little bit. I don't – between Jack Clark and Mark McGuire, I don't know who all was playing first base.
It's such an important position.
It is.
It's such an important position.
It's become devalued here over the last few years. Well, since Sabermetricians or Sabermetrics has taken over, just because – and I don't even know if it has anything to do with Sabermetrics. It's more so because of – you're limited to one position defensively. If you can play first base, but that's all you can play, you're not considered as valuable because you're not as versatile. Right.
They'll put you at first base.
Right. But if you got a really good power hitting first baseman, there seemingly are not a lot of those in baseball anymore.
Cardinals got one now though.
They do.
Three home runs last night. Major league history. First major league player ever.
Yeah.
Hit three home runs in one game in one of his first two games with the new team. And he was quoted after the game, you know, baseball's a funny game. Struck out three times opening day, hits three home runs the next day.
I do wish they would give him a new number or he would take a new
number.
I don't
care for 46.
I don't either.
Well, he said he wasn't, you know, because he wore 44.
He doesn't care.
He said he wasn't going to – Luke Gregerson has 44. He's like, I'm not going to take it from him. Why? Why?
Well, you may not have to worry about it. They're going to cut him in like a month
Luke
or so.
Luke Gregerson
anyway.
Should give him.
Remember
number.
When Luke Gregerson was signed to be the closer and
oh.
he's pitched all of 12 innings for the St. Louis Cardinals?
That was not a good – no one at the time said, oh, that's a good move.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what?
I thought it was a solid move because I thought, okay, this is the first of many moves you're going to make to the bullpen. This is a solid move. He's going to be your sixth inning guy. He's going to be your closer? Okay,
right.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. But you're right, though. 46, that number's no good.
It works more for a pitcher. It's fine for a pitcher. Kyle McClellan, go ahead.
Right.
But no.
Yeah, for your star player?
Yeah.
No.
But, and he even said during his introductory press conference, I don't know how much this is true, but he's never really cared too much about jersey number, which,
and
that's fine.
I sort of believe that.
Yeah.
But
some guys don't.
Some guys don't. But Luke Gregerson doesn't need 44.
No. Please, just give him, you, especially since you signed him to an extension. If
right.
he was there for 1 year, okay, I can buy that. He's there. He's here for the next, like, 5 or 6 years.
I don't know that he'll change it now, though.
Good grief.
All these number 46s have gone off the shelves.
Well, it would almost have to be after this year. Because
well, yeah,
doesn't Major League Baseball have a rule?
Probably. Like Michael Jordan wearing 45. Although yeah. that's probably worth some money.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
45 Jordan. Of course, anything with Jordan on it's worth money.
Well, he changed it in the middle of a playoff series. Because was it Nick Anderson who opened his mouth?
What?
That's not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wore 23. I don't know who 45 is.
Oops.
Well, they came out the next game wearing 23, and the Bulls didn't win that series, but still.
No.
Don't mess with the Bulls.
He dropped a double nickel wearing 45 at the Garden.
He did. Oh, well, he was good.
Didn't oh, he matter. Was?
Yeah, a little bit. He also wore 12 once.
He did wear 12, yes. Little known fact. Number 12.
Don't forget about that, yeah.
Can't forget about that.
He wore
that.
Three numbers in the NBA.
Elite Eight tonight, of course, you've got Gonzaga and Texas Tech, Virginia and Purdue. Tomorrow, Duke and Michigan State, Kentucky and Auburn. And the Final Four will be set by tomorrow evening. We want to thank Southwestern softball coach Paige Mitchell, Hillsboro baseball coach Bob Allen, and Jason Burke. Again, the second annual Crush for Camden's Crew Golf Scramble coming up May the 11th. You have until April 27th to get your reservation in. You can call Jason 217-313-1586. You can email him. You can find that on the Hillsboro website at ihsa.org or hit him up on the Facebook. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.